Welcome to the Level Up Artist Podcast. We're your hosts, Adriana Amay and
Jackie Sanders. We are two art professionals sharing forward the advice and business lessons we have learned along our creative journeys.
We talk to artists, leaders, and art professionals to demystify the creative process and discover new ways to succeed as a career-minded artist.
If you find value in these conversations, please go ahead and subscribe. This will help other creatives like you find our podcast, and you'll be notified when we drop new episodes every Tuesday. On today's episode, we are so excited to have Raleigh-based painter on the podcast, Ashley Harrington. So welcome, Ashley.
Thanks for having me here.
Absolutely. We're looking forward to discussing with you your creative journey, how you've developed your style as an emerging artist, hearing more about the pop-up art exhibition you hosted recently, as well as recording a bonus segment on navigating opportunities as an emerging artist for our podcast supporters at levelupartist.com.
But real quick, before we go ahead and dive in, let's share a little bit more about you and your background for our listeners who may not be familiar with your work quite yet. So Ashley Harrington is a self-taught painter from Raleigh, North Carolina, where she currently resides. Her work explores self-awareness through emotional observance. Through her figurative art, she aims to reconnect with her emotions and to deepen her self-understanding and identity. Starting with intuitive actions and building up layers, her work evolves alongside her internal exploration, serving as a mirror to reflect on who she is and how emotions have shaped her identity. Ashley's art has been exhibited in Art Space, Duke Hospitals, and Industrious co-working offices, and recently has hosted her own independent art show of her figurative paintings.
And of course, that is the formal introduction to our listeners. But Ashley, how would you describe your work to someone who has never seen it before, especially one of our listeners who perhaps is in the car, you know, while they're listening to this episode?
Sure. So I would describe my work as colorful, expressive, female figures, painted in a very loose form, using a lot of color, using different tools such as palette knives to create some imperfections and roughness to kind of embody my own experiences as being a woman, and also trying to bring that expression of emotions to the outer world without trying to be too woo-woo.
That's perfect. I absolutely love that. And I think that conveys so well in your work. For those who are listening or watching on YouTube and can see some of her beautiful paintings behind her, or if you are listening and you can go to our blog or our Instagram after the fact and look at some of her work. But I love that richness in both the physical texture, but also just the visual texture of the figures in your work. Cause it's very clear that there's those layers that you're talking about in your process as you're building them up. There's clear that just like with our identities, there's so many layers to us. There's so many, different experiences that we go through. And that's one way I really admire your work, is seeing that within the figures and the surface of the painting. But I am curious though, as artists, we all have like an origin story. So like some people have been painting their entire lives. Some people picked it up later at a pivotal moment. So how long have you been creating artwork for?
I've been consistently creating art for about 4 years now. Mm-hmm. Like I've definitely have one of those backgrounds of like loved art as a kid on and off in school, but I didn't go to school specifically for art. So I didn't study it in college, but I would pick up an art class here and there if they allowed me to. but it's been great in the past couple of years to be fully in it for sure.
Absolutely love that. Now, you've described yourself as a self-taught artist. How has your style evolved over the years? Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah. So I started just really trying to build a habit of painting every day. I was in a 9-to-5 job. So I kind of had to carve out some time after work to build the practice. So I simply just started with representational art, which is like landscapes, animals from photographs, usually photographs that I took myself. And that was great. I got to play with composition and colors and love that. But it came to a point where it just wasn't enough. Like I didn't have a gut feeling about the end products. And I didn't realize it at the time, but like just through the practice of doing those first paintings, made me more aware of how little self-awareness I had. And it made me curious about diving deeper into that. And so I tried to make things more abstract. And that's kind of where my figures emerged, was trying to create abstract landscapes. And I fought that for a while, probably like a year. Before I took a step back and was like, maybe I should just lean into this and see where this goes. And that's how my first two rounds of figures came about.
I
I
love that so
absolutely
much,
love
and I can relate with it so much, especially
it.
the whole painting and also balancing a 9-to-5 situation, not going to art school, trying to find a style. And then that idea behind, and I'm glad you're bringing it up because it's something that I feel like needs to be normalized a little bit more. I know the Gram Gram and other online platforms make it look like things happen overnight, which of course, as artists, we definitely know it doesn't happen overnight. But that idea of we all start out by imitating to a certain extent, right? Like we're taking lessons from other people. And we're just basically at that point adding tools to our toolbox. So the authenticity part of it is not as important then. We're just learning by copying, right? And this is normal. This is how it was done back in the day. Literally, the masters learn by copying older, long dead masters. And eventually you created your own style, but first you learn by imitation, if you will, right? As you learn the basics of it. So I love how you started with representational, which I think is pretty normal for a lot of people to start with that, right? You're just translating what's in front of you and landscapes because outdoors, hello, we all love it. At least us here, we love it. And then moving into the bodies, I do remember because, of course, we've known each other for some time now, that fight of like, yeah, I've been doing these landscapes, which absolutely fantastic. And then you were like, the bodies, there's something about the body. They keep showing up.
Yeah,
They
and it's
wouldn't
so
stop not showing up.
cute.
I was just like, all right, I see bodies and everything now. It's a, I don't know. It's a good problem, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel
It
like as
is a good
artists, we
problem.
all have that like blessing and a curse vision of I know we had that experience recently where you're sitting outside with friends, like how as artists would you interpret the scene around you? So even like sitting out in nature to be like, oh, well, I as an abstract geometric artist would naturally like block off, okay, well, the stream is this diagonal block of blue, and then the trees are these various collections of greens. But I automatically default put things into like triangles and circles and just different geometric forms. And you're like, this is obviously a figure form. And I'm like, now that you point that out, that makes total sense. But I think that's the cool, almost like superpower of being an artist is, and part of that, like finding your voice as an artist is where kind of overriding the logic as to what you feel like you should be seeing and saying, how am I emotionally reacting to this scene? How am I wanting to express something that I am bearing witness to in the world? And for some people, it's circles and squares and lines, and then some people it's figures. So I love that you have that filter for it. Which actually brings me to a next question of like, where do you think that comes from? Obviously leaning into the style, now it's kind of become that like I just see figures in everything, which is so fun. But where do you feel like pulls you towards the form of figure? And now making work about it, how do you keep that evolving from one piece to the next?
So, It definitely came through again, trying to just abstract things and kind of implementing some intuitive mark making, which I guess to put more plainly is just to move the paintbrush around on the canvas without any expectations of what the outcome's going to be. Just kind of like moving, letting the body express itself through movement. And that's like in my, and I guess my mind would just register after all that movement and mark making and would see bodies. And it just piqued my curiosity and got me just asking questions about the self and how I see myself, and just kind of led down this rabbit hole of introspection. And I didn't really know how to immediately go really deep into the self. Sorry for the woo-woo again, but so I decided to start with like very scientifically, like what can I see? Like just being very observant and like, so that's kind of like how I lead into the female figures is trying to like from like a first person perspective of how I hold my own body, what are like the positions I usually hold my body in day to day, to try to give a new perspective on the female body, versus like usually like the more very propped, more sexual kind of gaze that you get from masters, but just trying to it really for myself to start from a new perspective.
Love that. Now, for other artists who may be a little bit earlier in their journey than you are, right? Like you have several years in. What kind of
Still
advice would you
early.
give them?
Just want to say, I
Yes.
feel like it should be said 4 years in is still very early.
That is okay, Ashley. That is okay. There are people that are right now going, I don't even know where to start. So, okay. So you're 4 years in. And just imagine you're talking to someone who's even afraid to do this, like even on the weekends kind of situation. So they're at year zero. You're at year four. So this is very good. And yes, 4 years is still early. Don't worry. Don't. You're good. You're doing great.
Like we're all honestly, I think that could be an entire segue on like feel like all of us on this call or even many artists. I mean, we've had artists on the podcast today say they're like, yeah, I've 20 years in it and I still feel like I'm constantly questioning who am I, what am I making, why am I making it, which kind of to that woo-woo mindset is I don't know if as artists any of us ever feel like we've like okay that piece like I nailed it, or maybe we have that moment for a minute and then we're like well now I need
Moving
to
on.
start an entire series, or 6 months later you look back and can we instantly start critiquing ourselves or questioning ourselves? So I think that is almost one of those traits as artists. Just kind of pulling it out for a moment that we always feel like we're like just starting and not sure what we're doing, but we're all not sure what we're doing together, which is a lot of
Well,
fun.
we're always striving to like further art. So in a way, we are always beginning a new cycle, whether it's like every couple months or every couple years, and kind of chasing down like that beginner's mindset to kind of keep opportunities open to your mind. Because you like, at least in my experience, it's so easy to get comfortable in a certain subject. Or a certain process, and you kind of close yourself off to new possibilities to try out. So I think, yeah, it's kind of nice and exciting to be beginning, whether it's year zero or year four, because it's kind of like in that everything is new and exciting, and you're like on this journey of becoming an artist, and it's a very rewarding, challenging but rewarding path.
Yeah, and you still have time to make, major pivots if needed. That's, I think, the other exciting part about it. If you're like a year in, you're like, I don't want to do bodies anymore. Now I just want to paint, I don't know, close-ups of flowers a la Georgia O'Keeffe, and that's all you want to do, then it's fine, or you want to paint pets, I don't know. It's whatever you want. Then you're still early enough that you don't necessarily feel that pressure either of you have to, like, they can still be in the same style that you're currently developing, but then you can still switch your subject matter. And I think that gives you an incredible flexibility that somebody that has, a little bit of a longer timeline in it perhaps doesn't, or feels like they doesn't, they don't, which I'm like, I think everybody does, even Picasso did like random sculpture at one point, like when he was like, super up there age-wise. So I don't think it's really a, I don't think it's a real limitation. But of course, since we are troubleshooters, at least that's how I think of it. We like to create problems that then we have to solve. Then it makes sense if, there can be a little bit of resistance later on to, pivot around. But no, I love that. I love that advice. I think that's really good. Thank you.
Now, one thing that I really have admired, of course, being friends along this creative journey together, is seeing that progress that has been made, both in developing your work, but also from the career opportunity standpoint. And one thing that you did last year that I thought was absolutely amazing and so badass, was making your own opportunity happen with hosting your own pop-up show. So this was at the end of last year. So I was wondering if you could tell us more about that experience and how that opportunity, kind of presented itself to you.
Sure. So before the pop-up show, I had been hosting house art shows in my own house because it's really hard to find public spots that are available and are affordable to rent out. But I really wanted to take it to the next level to have a public space for random people to walk by and interact with my art. So I really just went online and started researching, figuring out what keywords to search for, because that was another hurdle. But I came across a website called peerspace.com that just had random workspaces from like a little desk area to like a photography studio to just like very random. And they had like just a couple in North Carolina. It's a national thing. But that's where I found the space that is in downtown Raleigh, kind of in the historic Oakwood neighborhood, if you know the area. And it was great. It was a blank white box with like on, and it was like storefront. And I was like, this is awesome. I had the North Carolina Artist Support Grant last year that I was able to kind of tie that in and change my budget a little bit. So the space itself was covered. So it was really just like a nice guinea pig for me to try and just kind of wing it and have this one night pop-up show. And it was great. I learned a lot about it, and which I can go into detail if that is also part of the question. I've
Yes,
already
it's
forgotten. No,
Yeah,
that
which
is
I think.
great. I mean, standing ovation, Ashley. I don't think people realize that what you just said, the amount of courage that it takes, it's no small feat. Literally, let me rephrase this, for the people in the back, like, like the saying goes, literally we have here, an artist, our friend,
who is like, okay, I need to show my stuff in front of the public. And you went out and looked for an actual space to rent out. Luckily, you had grant money that assisted. We love grants, of course. And then you were basically like, hello, here's my artwork. Come and see it. Dude, that's amazing. Most people are like, if somebody doesn't say yes and accepts it, I mean, they'll barely even show it to their own family. And he just went out and showed it in a public space,
Yeah,
which
even
is,
your house shows, I feel like were that perfect kind of launching pad towards it, which I know that obviously wasn't part of the question, but even for again, the people in the back of thinking about like, well, if you have a home or an apartment or an outdoor garage, I've known people that kind of like transform their garage into a gallery for a weekend and invite all of your family and friends and like post about it on social media and take pictures and essentially host your own exhibition opening. And then this being able to take it to that next level with applying for a grant, which is another huge thing as an artist that can make opportunities like that happen. And is a lot of work in itself. So it's a lot of that kind of behind the scenes where, yes, obviously as artists, which we can dive into a bit more later, there's like open calls or group shows, but really I'm gonna make an opportunity happen for myself to like get that momentum and build it based off of what I am doing, which is absolutely awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, and I feel like as an artist, like especially if you live in an area where, again, there aren't a lot of opportunities all the time, that you really have to get creative about how you show your work. And I know there's like the internet, but there's nothing, it's not the same as seeing art in person. It like everything, I mean, like all of our art right now looks gorgeous, but it's like 100 times better in person to see like all the details and the textures and the scale of it too. Like everything's so tiny on the screen right now, but I've seen all of these in person. I know how gorgeous they are, like for real. And that's like, yeah, it's a challenge, but it's, you can find some interesting ways to show your art for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, some other suggestions that just come to mind too is I've heard some artists like their first iteration of this is they'll try to do it through a coffee shop or some kind of other retail space that will let them exhibit too. So there's different ways out there, but this one, I mean, it was gorgeous. It was like the whole space. We went and saw it in person, of course. And I mean, it was great. It had parking nearby. There were food places nearby. Like this is cute little downtown area, walkable area, you know, people with their dogs walking out there. Like it was really, really cool spot that you chose. Now, question, of course, is after hosting this pop-up show, right? What were some of your biggest takeaways? Like, what are some of the things that you think, maybe one or two things, not a lot, right? But what were some things that you thought went well, and then some things that you would do differently next time?
So things that went well, the location was great. It had a lot of foot traffic, and people who came in were engaging a lot with the art and talking to me. So it was a great opportunity for me to not only talk about my art, but a lot of people would kind of build off of what I told them, and they would give me their perspective on the art as well. So it was very inspirational for me for future works, and just to hear real-time feedback on the work. And even people who didn't come into the space, because it was like all windows in the front, people would pause, stop, just kind of look in, and just seemed like really interested. And so that was like really encouraging for me, and just exciting to be able to see people react to things. So what went well with the art show was the real-time reactions I got with strangers just walking by, happenstance. People came in, and I was able to talk about and practice talking about my art with them. Which was cool because they, a lot of them would start a conversation with me and build off of what I told them about my art and kind of be very excited about the whole introspection thing and dealing with emotions and all that. So it was a lot of really good conversations that I had with people. Some of the challenges with the space was, even though it had really good foot traffic, I didn't provide enough directional signage for people, for them to know that they could come in, that it was one night only. A lot of people walked by really excited, thinking that this was a new semi and that I would be there for like a month or so or permanently. Really having good signage, and probably before the events, passing out flyers, doing more marketing of like, hey, this thing is going to be here for like 3 hours, so make sure you stop by, kind of messaging. So those are probably like the two biggest things, which is signage and marketing correctly. Well, and then end time. And again, depending on the location you get a space in, you probably need to do some research, like hang around the spot when you are thinking about having your events, and seeing how many people show up. Like, I had a lot of foot traffic, but it was mostly for pizza, and people, they were too afraid apparently to come check out the art while they were waiting for their pizza. But there are just like a lot of little things to take into account when researching a place. And I mean, there's always a little bit of a risk because you never know what the weather is going to do. And if the new spot that you're not used to, there's always going to be a couple hiccups. But overall, like, it was a great learning experience for me. Like I said, Grant covered it, so I wasn't really worried about selling any paintings, but really just kind of exposing my work to the public and seeing how it was received. So with that in mind, I think it was a huge success. And yeah, it was great. It was a lot of fun.
That's awesome. And I feel like especially hosting an event to like its totality like that is such a amazing hands-on experience. And also, I'm sure does give even more gratitude to when you're have either maybe a gallery that does all the marketing and the signage and is there for a month. But I think especially as artists, if anyone's able to have an experience like that or create an opportunity like that, it can be so beneficial. Because as you mentioned, there's always those little things of, oh, I wish I did this, or I didn't think about that. And I mean, it definitely took a lot of prep work between making labels, which pieces are going to be included. Of course, there's always more marketing that can be done, but you did do like a good amount of marketing and having a newsletter that people could sign up for. So just huge kudos to you on the event. It was absolutely amazing. And thank you for sharing your experience on the podcast. But I am curious too, if there was another artist who was considering hosting their own art event like that, what advice would you give them?
Start as soon as possible, meaning give yourself as much time to prepare. Don't plan something like a month ahead, like from when you start. I will say, like, most of my events have been somewhat like that, but I did have, I think, like a good six months for this pop-up. Mm-hmm. And it was a nice amount of time to plan out newsletters, social posts, to really try to build up some excitement around it. That would be my number one tip, is to make sure you buffer in enough time to do your marketing so people actually show up. Yeah.
That's solid advice right there. Well, next up, we love to ask all our guests how they define success. But first, we're going to take a quick break for a word for our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by our Level Up Artist courses.
We understand that life as a modern artist can be both exciting and overwhelming. Plus, there's a lot of information out there. So what do visual artists actually need?
We've spent countless hours of trial and error, weeding through tons of information to find the gold, so you don't have to waste your time going down those endless rabbit holes.
In addition to weekly calls, we have created video course modules to cover everything from artist documents to exhibition prep, social media to technology, sales strategies, artist mindset, PDF resources, templates, and so much more.
Ready to get started? Head on over to levelupartists.com to learn more, get immediate access, and level up your career today.
Welcome back, everybody. So one of the questions we like to ask every guest, and Ashley, of course, we'll ask you, is how do you define success as an artist?
That can be a tricky question, I feel. Especially as a professional artist, I feel like there's always two sides to that. There's the business side of wanting to make a living off of your art, and the art itself. And so at least for the art itself, I think at least currently for me, what success looks like is having a good process in place. And like having a good process as in that it can be flexible and evolve with how your art evolves or anything that just kind of comes up either professionally or in your personal life as well.
I think that's definitely a huge thing that not a lot of artists think about, working professionals in general, it's the flexibility within your role itself, but also to accommodate for your personal life, for vacations, for all of those other parts that make life so wonderful. So I think that's a great thing to make note of. It's yes, about the art and about the process, but also about the life that you can make around that career too. So what is one piece of advice that you wish you had heard before you got started on your creative journey?
I don't know if this counts as advice, but I feel like someone needed to tell me to get comfortable with being uncomfortable just indefinitely, especially coming from a 9-to-5 job where there's a lot of stability and consistency. That kind of gets flipped becoming an artist. And I'm still trying to get used to this very dynamic schedule and money influxes and like energy changes and just everything. It's a lot. And you like, it's the whole, you're your own boss, but you have that many more decisions to make and to structure your day every day.
It's not for the faint of heart, that's for sure.
Yes.
I think that infamous with more power comes more responsibility element.
Exactly.
Or another saying I really like that I think ties in is that discomfort is the currency of growth.
Right.
And I feel like that's true. I mean, that's what we all go through, right? Growing up as humans. So yeah, definitely. It takes some getting used to that. It takes some getting used to. Plus, if you became too comfortable, you'd become too content, and then you'd become stagnated in your work anyways. You know? So, yeah. Yay for discomfort. Let's work through it, everybody. Now, Ashley, if somebody randomly hands you $100, what would you splurge on or invest in? Has to be something that brings you joy and relates to your art or business.
Does a massage count?
Yes.
100%.
Self-care?
Self-care, yes.
Yes.
I love that. Like, it's part of my creative process. I need it.
Yes. I second that motion.
Great answer. Well, Ashley, this has been so much fun. But real quick, as we wrap up, if people are online, how can they stay connected with you after they listen to today's episode?
Sure. So I'm mainly on Instagram at Ashley Harrington Art. Or you can find, I have a website, which is currently bleedingartstudio.com, but we'll be switching over to ashleyharringtonart.com. So probably just Ashley Harrington Art, everything.
Branding consistency, we love
Yes,
it.
working on it, working on it. So the best way to keep up with current projects and events would be my newsletter, which you can sign up either through social, which I'm on Instagram and Facebook, or through my website, both of which are Ashley Harrington Art, ashleyharringtonart.com.
Well, we'll make sure to link everything in the show notes, of course. Would you mind staying with us a few extra minutes so we can discuss navigating opportunities as an emerging artist as a bonus segment for our podcast supporters?
Absolutely.
Awesome. In the meantime, if you want to stay connected with us in between episodes, share your feedback, or have a question you would like for us to answer on the podcast, you can reach us through social media. I'm at MA Art across all platforms.
And I'm at J Sanders Studio on all platforms. And if you want to follow the podcast, we are at Level Up Artists on Instagram. You can also visit levelupartists.com to hear the rest of this conversation and become a podcast supporter.
This will give you access to amazing off-the-record conversations with our guests, the community platform, and keep the podcast going.
Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you next week.